Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So those of you who are keeping track will notice that we skipped ahead in Matthew a little bit today. Chapter 18 last week, this week chapter 20. There's a little part in chapter 19 that I want to call your attention to because I think it bears on what we hear today in this parable of the workers in the vineyard. Remember last week when I said that chapter 18 was about humility and forgiveness and accountability? Those things were the themes of that chapter. And I said that about the little part of that humility comes at the very beginning of that chapter, where Jesus calls over a little child and says to everyone, whoever becomes like this little child will inherit the life that God desires to give. That's really what the kingdom of heaven language really means, kingdom of God language means. The life that God desires to give. And Jesus called over that little child and said, whoever becomes like this child. And humility, we talked about, it isn't about rejecting, humility is about rejecting the offer of power. It's about choosing not to pick up that mantle, that tool, that weapon. And a child is Jesus' example because a child doesn't have that ability. A child isn't even granted the choice to exercise power. Well, that same image shows up in chapter 19 in this space in between last week's story and today's. In the middle of chapter 19, that familiar account between children and Jesus takes place, where people are bringing Jesus now to be with, people are bringing children to be with Jesus, Only the disciples chastise the parents or whoever's bringing them. They shoo them away as if Jesus is too important to bother with the little kids. I guess the disciples haven't been paying attention very well. But then again, all of this is going by rather fast. Perhaps they shouldn't be expected to pick up on every nuance of faith and practice. But the truth is that in the Gospels, the disciples don't actually catch on very quickly. The Gospels actually seem to portray the disciples as inept and unwilling, unable even sometimes, to truly understand what Jesus is trying to do. And again, what Jesus is trying to do is establish a community of grace, a community of forgiveness and sharing with one another over against a world that insists on power and wealth and acquisition and dominance. So these little quips about children, they aren't meant to be how cute children are. Rather, it's about their powerlessness. How in God's reign of justice, the ones who otherwise come last will find themselves at the front of the line. And the first will be last. I think it's a pretty well-known parable. The workers in the vineyard. Migrant workers are hired, some of them at the beginning of the day. Eager workers, thankful to get out in the field and earn that daily wage. But also others are hired in the middle of the day and even with only 1 hour left to work. And all of these workers, and by the way, don't miss the unspoken truth that like children, these workers are also without any ability to exert power of any kind. They are at the mercy, literally, of those who can hire them and send them into the fields to work. I've actually seen this play out. Where we lived in Arizona, it was on kind of the edge of the Phoenix metro area. Still lots of farms and orchards just on the outskirts of town. And workers, they would gather at gas stations. I would see this as I would drive by. They would gather at gas stations waiting for pickups to pull in and someone in the truck would yell out, 3 or 7. And that many guys would jump into the back of the truck and off they'd go. Sheriff Joe Arpaio definitely didn't approve. these guys had no power. They had no control over when or if someone would show up to give them work for the day. These are the workers of Jesus' parable. Only the landowner in the parable goes out again and again throughout the day and hires additional workers. And then at the end of the day, he starts to hand out cash. And the ones who were hired last, only 1 hour they've worked, they get a full day's wage. I'm fairly certain that that never happened in Chandler, Arizona. Even those who went against the sheriff's will and hired migrant workers probably didn't pay them more than they had to. But this is really the crux of it, isn't it? Not only is the landowner gracious enough to keep going out again and again throughout the day or to hire not just the guys who got up and got themselves to the gas station early in the morning, but he also goes out and picks up those lazy fools who didn't get up very early, who were probably nursing hangovers from the night before. Even the ones who didn't get out of bed and out to the gas station till 3 or 4 or even 5 in the afternoon, they got picked up too. And the landowner pays them the same as the guys who worked the whole day. Outrageous. Absurd. And Jesus says that this is what the reign of God should look like. How this new community of faith should live and act. Let the little children come to me, Jesus says. The first will be last, and the last first. You want to talk about power? You want to talk about what's fair? Who really is worthy? Jonah got a lesson in power, didn't he? Nineveh, it's the capital of Israel's enemy. Moscow or North Korea. And God sends Jonah, tells him to go and politely ask if they might just repent and turn to God. And lo and behold, that's exactly what they do. And Jonah can't hardly hold it together. How dare God treat these infidels the same as the chosen children of God? And then the scene with the bush and the worm. I think the author puts that in the story just so that we don't miss the comic tragedy of Jonah's little pity party. And in the reading from Paul to the Philippians today, I don't know if you quite picked up on it, but at the very end, God has graciously granted you, Paul says, the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Suffering? Really? Does that have to be part of the deal? Can't we just have the kinder, gentler Jesus? Or is this really the kind of Jesus suitable for American Christianity? The Bible is about love. Faith in God is about love for one another and living well together and doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. But it's about so much more. Or it's about the love that breaks the boundaries that we sometimes assume is proper and good order, keeps everyone in line. And that kind of love, that kind of sacrifice, that kind of Christian living, it's not easy. It's not always popular. You see how the workers who were sent into the field in the early morning, how they weren't too happy about the latecomers coming and getting that same daily wage. But what's the greater suffering? That one doesn't get the same wage as another? Or that a family isn't able to eat because somebody's getting a whole heck of a lot more money than others. And it isn't usually the guys who were hired in the morning. In some ways, this is about economic systems. And we have plenty of that going on in our own world with the mega rich who seem to be gobbling up more and more, and the workers who put themselves on the line to stand up for a more equitable system. But I'm not going to get into that. See, this is me avoiding being political. I want to go back to Paul and hear again his call to, as he says, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I got to say, one of the things that really makes me sad, I've shared this with some of you, is the level of disrespect and cynical disgust that we see displayed in the world today. Oh, you can blame social media or parents who don't teach their kids right or wrong. You can say it's because we took prayer out of school. I don't really care about casting blame. All I know is that if we want to be followers of Jesus, if we really do dare to live into this new community that God gives us, that Jesus is trying to create, we've got to resist the temptation to grumble when someone who only worked 1 hour gets the same pay as you and me. We have to be generous enough to love the person who doesn't like the same things we do. We have to be compassionate enough to help the people who are hungry, even if it's their own dang fault that they're poor, even though that's not actually the cause most of the time. We have to listen to each other, even if they voted for the other party. We have to be willing to trust that God loves people just the way they are, even if we really don't understand what that means. Paul says, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, the gospel of Christ is to take up your cross, to love your enemies, to sell all that you have and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me, Jesus says. The gospel of Christ is to go out into the field of God's good world and do the work that we've been called to do, and to trust that others will come and work alongside of us. And the work will be hard, but there's joy in the company of all of us working together, sharing our gifts, learning from one another, even learning from the people that we disagree with. And the gospel of Christ is, at the end of the day, when the rewards are given out, everyone gets the same. Everyone has what they need for life, hope, and eternal grace upon grace. The last will be first, and the first will be last. And we might just be surprised to find out that what that really means is that in the end, there is no first and last. Just God in his pickup truck showing up at the gas station, calling out to all of us, jump in. There's enough for everyone.